Okay, guys. What have we been teaching on? Anybody know what we've been studying?
Doctrines.
But yeah, doctrines. And the last and third week we've been talking about faith. So can somebody tell me what the Bible says faith is? And Hebrews 11:1. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Right? So faith is something we don't see, right? But it's something that's real. It's substance and it's evidence of what God's done. So let me encourage you to get into, open your Bible and read Hebrews 11:1 this week and meditate on that. What that means, that it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You may wonder why I'm doing this series on the doctrines of Christ, where Paul was saying that we, or whoever the writer was of Hebrews, I believe it was Paul, but he said we need to get past that. Well, the problem is, not everybody gets it, do they? Not everybody has learned the doctrines of Christ. Then we have new people coming on board all the time, being born again. The church is growing all the time around the world. So it's important to study the doctrines of Christ and see what God's Word says so we know what it says. But when you hear it, it doesn't always mean you'll get it, right? I mean, how many of you have ever heard something and you get up and you didn't hear a word of it? Even though your ears heard it, your mind was a million miles away. Well, I'm married. That's what do they call that? Some kind of hearing, I forget. Selective hearing. So we've all been there, I guarantee you, men and women both. But we talked about in one of our lessons about how we hear the Word of God. Jesus told John, or the angel told John when he was giving him the revelation, he says, be careful how you hear. He says, those with an ear hear what the Spirit says to the church. So God wants us to really hear His Word. We talked about the people in Berea. Says they in Acts 17, it says they were more noble than the other Christians because every time they heard Paul speak or Silas speak, they would listen intently and with joy they would listen. But when they went home, what'd they do? They studied the Scriptures to see if what they said was right. You know, it's real easy to think, well, you know, this guy's been in the ministry. I've heard this guy on the radio, you know, talking about whoever it is. I've heard him on TV, I've heard him on radio, and he's exactly right. Well, have you ever checked it out to see what he's saying, if Scripture was? There are a lot of people out there on radio and TV that are not right. And there are some that are good, but there are a lot of them that are not. So how do we know that? Is we've got to get in the Word for ourselves. How we hear the Word is up to us. You can throw it out there all day long, but unless you receive it with gladness like the people of Berea, there's nothing anybody else can do. I can sit here and teach the Word all day long. Pastor David can teach the Word all day long. But unless you receive it, and you do something with it, it's not going to do you any good. What David is doing right now, going through the books of the Bible, man, this is where he shines. Let me tell you. You know, he's got his doctorate in New Testament studies. He understands the Bible and the way it's laid out. Sometimes he and I disagree on a little doctrine, but you know what? None of us are ever going to completely agree, are we? But I tell you what he's doing now. He shines in this stuff. How many of you went to one of his, he had two studies, one in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament. Excellent. Went like, what, 6-7 hours? And did you get the booklet that came with it? I heard the other day they're going to publish that again and maybe put this stuff on YouTube. But excellent, excellent. And I would encourage you to keep a copy of that. I mean, it's always, if you need to know what one of the books the Bible talks about, go back and read that, and it kind of explains everything. Anyway, what you do with the Word is up to you. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, that's the basis of our study. It says, therefore, leaving the elementary instruction, this is the Weymouth New Testament, leaving the elementary instruction about the Christ, let us advance to mature manhood and not be continually relaying a foundation of repentance from lifeless works and faith in God. So the writer of Hebrews says, we shouldn't have to continually relay this foundation that's been laid. Well, like I said, we always have new people coming on board. I don't know where people are spiritually a lot of times. And so I want, you know, starting this, I felt like the Lord wanted me to do this to get a foundation laid. We all are on the same plane. So the reason that Paul had to keep doing it is because the people weren't getting it. They just weren't getting it. And so they didn't receive the word that was preaching. They didn't get it. So he realized he had to just keep doing it over and over and over. It wasn't probably because he wanted to, but he realized they weren't getting it. So he wanted to make sure they got it. You know, I worked in refining, oil refining, as they still understand it, for 18 years. I worked in other parts of the oil industry for a lot of years other than that. But the last place I worked in the refinery in Salt Lake City was called a reformer unit. And a reformer unit, almost all refineries have them. But what they do is they take the kind of the yucky stuff that's not good for much of anything, and they use a mixture of hydrogen along with high pressure and high temperature. And they run this stuff through there, and it comes out high octane, like 100 octane. And used to boost octane, what they did is they added lead to gasoline. Remember when you got leaded and unleaded and all that, or ethyl? It's ethyl lead is what it was. Well, that's bad for the environment. So I remember when they ripped the lead tanks out in Salt Lake City. They had to use them for years, but they finally took them out because they were leaking and all this stuff. Well, it's not good for the environment. But I have worked in a lot of units in refinery. In Texas City, where I started, that's one of the world's largest refineries. I worked on what they call an alkylation unit. It doesn't have anything to do with alcohol, but it's a lot of people down there probably wish it did. But what you do when you alkylate, it means you join together. And so what we did is we took one kind of butane molecule and another kind of butane molecule, and with sulfuric acid, it was a catalyst, and it joined those together, and it made what's called an octane, which is an 8-chain hydrocarbon, which doesn't mean anything to you guys. But you remember, you know how you go to the pumps and you get like an 87 octane, 92 octane? There's all those different amounts of octane. Well, we made a pure octane. Well, they built another unit back in, I think it was 89. It's back a year or two before I started in that refinery. They spent $4 billion, Amoco did, and they built the world's largest sulfur recovery unit that takes out the sulfur out of the emissions. Doesn't make them one penny, but they spent all this money. Then they built a huge, what they call a cat cracker, a fluid catalytic cracking unit, which means nothing. We call it a cat cracker, and people get a chuckle out of that. But they built the largest hydrogen sulfide, or hydrofluoric acid alkylation unit. Hydrofluoric acid, if you get a half a cup of liquid on you, it will kill you immediately. It's very dangerous. And it's anhydrous. That means it seeks moisture. You get it on you, it won't even affect your skin, but it'll soak right through into your bone and dissolve your bone. Well, down in Texas City, Marathon Oil years ago had a little 6-inch line of vapor, not liquid, and they were doing a lift in this big vessel. They dropped it and it hit that 6-inch line. Over 3,000 people in the city of Texas City went to the hospital that night because of being, and they show a video about it, and this policeman's out there, he's like, yeah, I can smell it over here, it's burning my nose, and they're like, he doesn't realize how dangerous it is. Well, we had to deal with it a little bit. It came back and we processed some of it. We didn't make it there. They gave us little coolers that we carried that had injections, had a cream, and it had an eye wash with this base stuff in that would neutralize that acid. Well, if we got it on us, it starts burning about 8 hours after you get exposed. You have to put that stuff and rush the hospital. They trained all the hospital people how to treat this stuff and all that. It was just crazy. But in those units, you have to learn how to run those things. You can't sit down and read a book on how a unit in a refinery works. It just doesn't work that way. You can understand that where the pipe, you go out and you spend hours tracing pipes and seeing where it comes from this vessel over to this vessel, you know what carries through there. You could build two units exactly the same and each one of them would run different. So what you learn, the old timers will tell you, you go out and you turn a valve and you can feel the flow change or you can hear it. And so you learn to trust those things. And so with the Word of God, it's the same thing. As we walk in the Word of God, we learn to trust by our spirit what we hear God say. It takes time. You know, it's not something we just learn as a new person. It took, in Texas City, I learned that much faster than I did when I moved to Utah. I mean, I was getting older. And I didn't learn like I used to when I went to Utah. But that last unit I was on, man, I would spend hours out there tracing lines and following this and following that and understanding what this did and that did. And, you know, it took time, but eventually you begin to understand. That's the way God's Word is. We study His Word. We get it in us. We may have to go over it again. But we begin to learn what God's Word says and what God's nature is like. And then we know what's right and what's not right. Well, listen to what Hebrews 6:1 says. It says, and this is the Aramaic Bible in plain English. Where in the world they got this? I don't know. There's so many different verses. But that's the great thing about the Internet, isn't it? You see all those, that Bible Hub is an incredible web resource because it'll take one scripture and give you all these different versions. And it says, because of this, let us leave the beginning of the message of the Messiah, and let us go on to perfection. Or are you laying again another foundation for conversion from the dead works and for faith in God? So in that version, they're saying, are you laying again another foundation? You know, we've got to learn what's the right. We've got to lay the right foundation, don't we? There's a lot of churches that are teaching things that are not the right foundation. And I was talking to my cousin yesterday on the phone. She and I are the same age, and we grew up real close, good friends. And I know when I call her on the phone, it's going to be at least an hour, and that's if I'm rushing it. So after an hour yesterday, finally I said, hey, I've got to go. And so, but it's always good. She loves the Lord, and we were talking about that, about what we're hearing. She said, you know, a lot of preachers basically get up and teach a lesson in psychology or philosophy, and they may salt it with one or two scriptures. Well, you know what? Remember that circle we show you on that paper, if you have it there with you? The soul realm is for psychology and philosophy, where they minister. They don't minister to our spirit. They minister to our brain. Well, that's not going to change us. The Word of God is what changes us. When I was growing up, I got a different foundation laid. I was told that God didn't heal anymore. I was told the spiritual gifts weren't in operation anymore. And that's just the way it was. I've told you about when my brother's died of cancer. It drove me to the Word, and I read James 5:16. It says, if any of you are sick, call the elders of the church, and they'll anoint you with oil, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. It'll heal the sick. I was just like, you've got to be kidding me. Because literally, I had never heard a sermon outside of Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. And so I called our pastor and told him what I read, and he says, well, we don't believe that. You know, and right then, that's when I think God really changed my heart to want to know what God's Word says and stick to that. I just thought, you know what, if you don't believe your own Bible, throw that stupid thing away. What are you doing messing around if you don't believe it? So anyway, I had a different foundation laid. And that's when I began to get in the Word, see what God's Word said. I was talking to my cousin about a couple guys I know that had their doctorates, and yet they don't know anything about the Word of God. They know all this junk. They know all this tradition, but they really don't know what God's Word says. They'll tell you, well, you know, the book of Acts, all that stuff was just for one time. It wasn't meant to be carried over for the body of Christ. They said that's when God was building the church. Well, you know what? The church has never quit growing, has it? I heard somebody say one time that the book of Acts is the only book in the Bible that's still being written. I like that. It's the book of the Acts of the apostles. And we're apostles of Christ, aren't we? And that book is still being written. I've heard people say that, oh, you know, tongues have ceased, miracles have ceased. And you say, well, when did they cease? Well, when the last apostle died. Now, wait a minute. What about Paul? Well, when Paul died. Well, wait a minute. You know, you could go on and on and on. And there is a scripture that says that tongues will cease. It says prophecy will cease. And it says, what else will cease? Knowledge. Has knowledge ceased? Absolutely not. When that which is perfect is come, those things will cease. We won't need them anymore because Jesus will be back. Okay, a lot of people say it, well, that's the Bible. That's the Bible we have. Knowledge hasn't ceased, has it? That's the acid test, that knowledge hasn't ceased. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 20 says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. That's important to remember. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. God's word still is powerful. Do you know that? God's word is still real. God is still backing up his word. He's still watching over his word to perform it like the word says. Hebrews chapter 2 verses 1 through 4 says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. So in other words, don't let go of what you've learned of God's word. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and divers miracles, or different kinds of miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. When the Bible says that God, he watches over his word and it's confirmed with signs and wonders. Have you ever seen anything just crazy that happened in a church when somebody's been ministered to or anything? Anybody ever see somebody's leg grow? I've seen that. It's amazing. Anybody seen somebody get healed instantly? I mean, just a complete miracle. I've seen it. And signs and wonders, they're things that probably we haven't even heard of that God's done to confirm his word. But you know what? I'm not surprised. God does amazing things. The first pastor I had when I first gave my life back to the Lord when I was 18, his name was Steve Smart. And I love this guy. He was a mentor to me. He was as tall as I am. He had this solid white hair. And his eyes, you couldn't even look in his eyes. It was like they just glowed. And he loved the Lord. And he was telling me one day, he said, when he started the ministry, he was an evangelist. And he said he was in a big church and he was preaching. And at the end, he said, I want to pray for everybody that's sick or had a problem. So he began to pray. And he said, now, if you were healed, I want you to come up here and give a testimony. He said, from the back, this guy came running around the edge. And he's thinking, well, probably a sore thumb healed or something like that, you know, which that's good, he said. But this guy got up there and he said, you couldn't tell anything's wrong with him. But he said, the guy told him, he said, just the last week he'd had one of his eyes completely ripped out by some kind of hook in an industrial accident. And they had gone in and tried to do some work, but his eye was completely gone. He was sitting back there and God gave him a brand new eye, gave him new flesh, everything. My friend, the minister, he said, well, you know, that's good, but I want you to go get some proof and come back tomorrow night. Came back with x-rays. He came back with doctor's reports. Doctors couldn't believe it. Isn't that awesome? You know, I think we ought to see that more. And I believe the more sin and more evil in this world comes, we're going to start seeing more and more. The Bible says when sin abounds, that the grace of God abounds much more. So I really think we're going to start seeing more of that. But it may not be as easy to live as a Christian as we used to. So don't believe people that tell you that God doesn't move by his spirit and that he doesn't watch over his word to perform it. Don't believe that. It's not true. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 9 says, Paul said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another gospel, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. So Paul was very adamant about that. They had a problem then of the teaching of circumcision. Peter was guilty, along with other people, saying, you know, if you really come to know the Lord, you've got to be circumcised. Well, how many of you know that's not right? It's completely wrong. That was another gospel. And if you know about the books of Acts, they had a conference in Jerusalem. And Paul jumped all over Peter about that. And they finally agreed, okay, we're not going to teach that anymore. We will teach you've got to abstain from blood sacrifices. And there were a couple other things. But they agreed that you're not saved by works. Absolutely not saved by works. So we got to be careful about another gospel that may be taught. What do you think is an example of another gospel that someone might teach that might not be scriptural? Anybody?
If you don't get baptized, you won't get to heaven.
That's a good one.
And if you don't speak in tongues, you're not really a Christian.
Yep.
If you don't obey the Sabbath, you're going to hell.
What's that?
If you don't obey the Sabbath, you're going
yep.
to hell.
It's a good one.
And you're not baptized by being immersed.
Yep. Yep. And see, those are other gospels, aren't they? Well, and usually what happens is people are trying to teach us salvation by works is what you see. And why is that? It's because in our mind, our soul, we want to think that. We want to think that we have to, you know, I mean, from the time we're born, we realize there's an action and something happens. We do it. We're a little baby. If we are hungry, what happens naturally? We just cry, right? Mama comes, feeds us. If our diaper's full, mom comes, chases because we're screaming and crying. So we learn from the time we're little that our brain operates everything. Well, the gospel's different than that, isn't it?
Well, I mean, I've heard lots of people, and I'm sure I've said it, but I'm a good person.
Yeah.
It's like we want that to be enough or okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because we want to be a good person.
Mm-hmm.
and it's okay to be a good person, but that's right. not what. I mean, I remember having a phone many years ago with my sister, and I was doubting. And I'm like, but I'm a good person. I do what's right. I should have said try to do what's right. But yeah. You know, we want that to count for something,
and it doesn't.
And it can really mess with your mind.
That's right.
And that means we shouldn't do right. We should right. do right.
right. But there are some gospels like the, Islam. You got to try to do good.
And then Jewish too.
Oh, absolutely.
A big thing. Yep.
Just trying to live the commandments, you know, live the law is works. And the Lord gave them to us to show us that we can't do it. We absolutely cannot live that law.
Well, we strive for it and should strive for it. Right. That's fine, but that's not what saves us. But I was very, I remember saying the words myself, but I'm a good person.
Yep. That's good. That's good. Yep.
I've heard a lot of them. Also, I have some friends across the street, really, really wonderful people, but their son, he believes like they do, that he's sealed with the Holy Spirit. His parents do not. The church they go to, they believe that if you're a Christian and you commit a sin and you don't ask God to forgive you that sin, then you can go right to hell. What happens if you're in an accident? You don't have time to confess.
Right. Yep.
You know, they just don't. There are a lot of churches that don't believe in people being sealed.
They don't believe. They don't understand grace.
Yeah.
I think
I didn't understand that once you're saved, you're saved. I mean, I didn't grow up in the church, and so I didn't start going to a church until I was in middle school, junior high. And I only went because of my friends. It was at a social thing.
Sure.
But we would go. You know, we used to go on retreats. Like every summer, we'd go on retreats. Well, every time they would have the prayer. I would pray the prayer because I thought every time I had to pray the prayer again.
Right.
It took me forever to understand that the first time I ever prayed it,
it's done.
It was done
yep.
in my mind, and even what, and I don't know that they were teaching me incorrectly, but I remember I have said their prayer so many times because I thought I had to say the prayer over and over and over again. That means I didn't get it.
Right.
I didn't really get it.
Right. And you weren't being taught.
Evidently.
Before I left my hometown, I took pictures for the sheriff's department. Anytime anyone got killed, car wreck, murder, suicide, whatever, somebody died, I went and took the pictures, and I developed them in-house to save from having to send it out. Well, we had a guy, I think he was my younger brother's age, but he was a big guy. And, I mean, he was strong as a horse, and he'd gotten a lot of trouble. You know, back in those days, they a lot of times gave you the option to go in the military or go to jail. Well, he went to the Marines. And he washed out in boot camp. He just, his mind wasn't completely right. Well, they had him back in jail. And this jail, you would walk in where the cells were, and there was a big open area all around the cages. And my dark room I had was just down the corner from that. But he was in there, and one day the sheriff walked in, and he had hung himself, and he had died. And his mother was going to a little church, and there was a lady there that really knew the Lord, and she was praying over that after this had happened, and she said the Lord gave her a vision, and she was telling this at the funeral, that she saw him in the arms of Jesus. Well, the sheriff was telling me about that, and he said, that's a bunch of baloney. He said, I never heard anybody commit suicide goes to heaven, and I had never heard that, but I found out that that's common for people to believe that if somebody commits suicide, they go to hell. And a lot of people justify that, saying, well, they didn't have time to repent of that sin of murdering themselves. Well, you know what? Suicide's like any other sin. People have many times have problems. You know, they're depressed. They may have something not right going on in their head. And you know what? God's grace covers that. I mean, all of us, when we die, guess what? We're all going to have something that's unforgiven sin. I guarantee you. So we've got to realize that God's grace carries us through that stuff. If not, we're all in trouble, right? If you hear somebody say, healing's not for today, or that kind of stuff, just tell them, or just walk away. You don't have to tell them anything. Walk away. They don't know the gospel.
Say a prayer for them.
Absolutely. Pray for them.
I'm healed.
Just pray that they'll get it right, that God, the Holy Spirit will reveal to them what's really going on. Matthew 4:23, and we talk a lot about healing when we talk about faith, because that seems to be one of the things we all struggle with, is sickness, disease, and that kind of thing. But Matthew 4:23 in the ESV says, and he went, speaking of Jesus, throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. Everywhere Jesus went, he healed. didn't he? You know, I was thinking the other day about Islam and this new group that's over there. It's killing all these people and cutting people's heads off. Now, ISIS and the Taliban, too, they're just as bad. But you think about it. They never do anything that's creative, do they? They're always destroying. I saw some building the other day. It was on, I think, on Jeopardy. And it was one of the oldest Christian buildings in the world. And they blew it up. They don't know how to create. And see, that's Satan's problem. He's never created. He was a creation. He's never created. So what does he do instead? He destroys. And that's what these people that follow Satan in these groups. What's that?
There is the mosquito.
The mosquito?
Yeah.
Explain.
Well, he's just being sick.
If you want the story,
if it's not too long, I'm out of time.
Jesus was sitting around when he was making the world. He was popping out birds and blue jay and cardinal, hawk, eagle, and Satan came up and said, I can do that. Jesus says, fine, try. Satan, there's a mosquito.
I believe it. I believe it. Same thing with the fly, but at least maggots help kind of clean things up, you know? That's like the hawk. I mean, isn't that the greatest piece of machinery God ever? I mean, the vulture. Even though they're ugly and nasty, but all the carrion they clean up, all the roadkill. I mean, go by 2 days later, it's gone, you know? So it saves a lot of us smelling bad things and all that. Acts 10:38. I'm sorry? Yeah. We didn't have where I grew up either. Acts 10:38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. So not only did he heal sickness and disease, he healed everybody that was oppressed of the devil. You know, we don't see, if you go to foreign countries, people talk about seeing these people chained to trees and they're vicious and they're foaming at the mouth and all that stuff. Well, you know what? We have the same thing that goes on over here, but the devil puts lipstick on the pig. You know what I mean by that? Or you might have somebody who works in Wall Street and they're demon possessed. But you don't see them foaming at the mouth and all this other stuff. And I'll hear people say, well, you know, the gifts of God and the spiritual gifts, they work over there because of all this demon possession stuff. Man, we got it just as much here, if not more, in this country, believe me. We just don't see it as well with our eyes. Matthew 8:16-17 says, when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. Somebody said the other day, I heard, they said, some people believe that God puts sickness on us. Well, wouldn't you think that's a schizophrenic God? He puts sickness on you, but yet Jesus died and took stripes on him to heal you? A little schizophrenic, isn't it? So I thought that was pretty good. All right, let me tell you, God's word is not dead. God's word, it's not finished. I mean, everything God did is still in operation, okay? And when I said a while ago to pay attention that Jesus was seated on the right hand of God, guess what? He's done everything he can do already. Did you know that? We pray, God, please do this. But you know what? He's already done it. We pray, God, save me. Guess what? He already took care of that, didn't he? What do we have to do? We have to trust by faith. Same with healing. Lord, you did it. Your stripes. By your stripes I was healed. It says, himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. Not even going to. He already did that. So that's something we need to realize. The only place we see that Jesus didn't heal, and I'm almost through, was in Nazareth. And it says, he said to them, he said, a prophet is only without honor in his own country. And it said there he could do no mighty works except pray for a few people and heal a few people. It's because of their unbelief, their doubt and unbelief. So that usually happens. If you know somebody, you don't tend to really see the gift of God in them. I think we're going to have to stop there. Let me see if there's anything else I want to touch on. I told you guys last week about my friend that he made $40,000 a year and he needed $50,000 a year. And he prayed about it and he said, Lord, I believe I received it. And he started tithing on $50,000. Well, faith always has an act. Smith Wigglesworth said, he was from Scotland. He'd say, faith is an act. And nobody could understand what he's saying, but faith is an act. I say faith is belief followed by a spontaneous corresponding action. It's like I use the fire triangle. If you have fuel and if you have the right amount of oxygen and you put a match to it, it's going to spontaneously burst into flames, right? Same thing. When we really trust God, we're going to act. And that's what he did. He believed God. He received that raise and he started paying his tithe on it. And he believed in his heart, not just his head, but he believed in his heart. So that's the difference in faith and belief. They're worlds apart. Faith falls short in the area. I mean, belief falls short in the area of faith. Faith, we need to act on it. I've used the example, if I come in, I'm dead tired, Calum can't stand up, about to fall down. I say, you know, I believe that chair will hold me up if I sit down. And I could say that till I fell down, couldn't I? Because I could really believe it. But if I have faith, what am I going to do? I'm going to flop down in it because I believe it's going to hold me.
I have a question.
Yes.
Is it wrong for someone to say, I have faith that everything's going to be all right or I'm going to be healed? Is that wrong?
No. No.
I had a pastor one time that told me when I mentioned that I have faith that my brother's going to be healed, and then he did a sermon on faith and how you're not supposed to say that.
Well, it's like I said a couple weeks ago, and you weren't here, but a lot of Christians mistake hope for faith, and they're different, just like belief and faith are different. We've got to start with hope, or we'll never be able to build our faith. But I mean, you can say that, but you may not be that point right there that your faith is built to that level to believe that. So what you do, you get in the Word and you study the Word until, man, it's so pounded in here. You know that you know that you know when you pray, it's going to be done. So and we receive it by faith, though.
So is hope sort of like saying, I hope I get lucky?
Kind of, yep. Okay. That's a good one. Yep.
I've heard an example, because I'm visual, an example of the difference between faith and belief. And it was a guy, two people were standing there and having a discussion, and there was a guy on it. There was a tightrope, and there was a guy standing at one end with a wheelbarrow. And he asked the guy, he says, do you believe that guy can walk from there to there across the tightrope and push that wheelbarrow? And he goes, and he said, well, I don't know if I believe it. And he watched the guy, and the guy... the wheelbarrow walked across the tightrope, and then so he asked the guy again, and he said, do you believe that guy can walk from there to there and push that wheelbarrow? And he goes, well, yeah, I believe it. And he says, but do you have faith he can do it? And he says, well, I believe it. I saw him. He can do it. I believe it. Do you have faith he can do it? And he goes, yeah, I have faith. He goes, get in the wheelbarrow.
Oh, yeah.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. That's when you really find out, isn't it? One more thing before we finish up. You know, I was thinking about that one day, about that faith always has an action. And I was thinking, well, when we get saved, what is our action? And the Bible is very plain. Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says that we believe with our heart and that confession is made unto salvation. What's our action when we believe on the Lord? Our confession. That's our confession. Hey, I'm saved. I'm saved, man. I know I'm saved. John said, these things are written so that you may know that you have eternal life. Not that you may think you do or you hope you do, but that you know. Just like Jesus, by his infirmity, by his stripes, we were healed. Himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. That's harder for us to get somehow because I think that hasn't been pressed into our brains since we were little. Salvation has. You know, salvation, we've gotten that message. But as far as healing, Jesus, he took care of healing before he ever took care of the sin issue. So it's there. We just haven't learned how to walk in that faith. We walk in a lot of hope. I see people that are, man, they're great in hope, but they haven't learned how to put their faith really there yet. It's not a bad deal. It's just they've got to learn. They need to get in the Word and switch it from hope to faith. So anyway, we're going to stop there. Anybody else have any other questions?